Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome. There's a bit of spring in the air, isn't there? We've got my favourite for March, snowdrops and tulips on the communion table, which I'm very, very grateful for those. I've got quite a lot of intimations this morning, so ears pinned back, and some of them are printed on the order of service, but not many, so they will be printed next Sunday. I'll start kind of date-wise. You'll remember we did the 90-kilogram rice challenge. We, as a church, we bought 90 kilograms of rice, and that raised enough money for a farmer in Malawi to educate one of his children for a year. Now, I'm not asking you to manage another 90 kilograms, but a colleague is doing this again and isn't sure he'll manage to sell all 90 kilograms. So if there's anybody who wanted rice last time but didn't get it, there's this sign-up sheet at the back. Put your name and details, whether you'd like a bag of brown or a bag of white, and I'll get the rice to you, and you just give me the money. It's £3 a bag again. So rice is on the go again. That's number one. Number two, the 1st of March, so that's a week on Friday, I think, is the World Day of Prayer, which, as many of you will know, is a day that churches and groups all over the world gather together and have a special service of prayer, which this year has been written by women in Slovenia. And it's a really beautiful service. And this year it's our turn for our district to hold it in Forth. So Friday, the 1st of March, 7 o'clock, here in Forth is the World Day of Prayer. If you want more information, speak to Mary Gemmell at the back. It really is, it's a lovely service, well worth coming to. The following day, I warned you there was a lot, is the Presbytery Retreat Day at Brayhead House. Now again, there's a poster at the back on the notice board about that, and it will also very soon be on our church website. Next, I'm losing track here, just about Lent study. Lent is just about upon us, and starting on Thursday, the 7th of March, I'm going to be running a Lent study. We're going to use this material from the World Mission called Listen, Learn, Share, Lessons from the Church in Africa. And that will be on Thursday evenings from 7:30 till 9. I've got a few copies of the book up at the back. If you want to sign up and help yourself to a copy, you can have an advance look at that study, and do come along to that. If I get a lot of people signed up, we might have to have it in the hall rather than in the manse. That's why I want to know how many folk are coming. Knack. Has anybody got the knack of anything? We've got a new group started on Monday mornings called Knit, Natter, and Craft or Chatter. And I think it also needs a third C for cuppa. So Monday mornings, 10 till 12 in the wee church hall, everybody's welcome to pop in for a cup of tea. If you want to do some knitting, some crochet, some crafts, that's great. If you've got a knack that you want to share with others, that's super. If you want to learn, come along as well. So that's knack. K-N-A-C-C, and there will be more information about that coming out. But it has started, so Monday mornings between 10 and 12. Everybody's welcome, even if you just want to go along for a cup of tea and have a look. And then looking further ahead, Sunday the 10th of March, in the evening between 7 and 9, we've got a speaker called Christine Warren, and she's going to come and tell us about the project Carluk, A Town Called Courage. You've probably all noticed the signs on the way into Carluk, and it's a fascinating story. So she's going to come and tell us all about that. There'll be an opportunity to sing some wartime songs for those who can remember them. And a cuppa will be available as well. I think I've made it. I think these are all the intimations, unless anyone wants to remind me of any further intimations. It's obviously spring. Everything's sprouting. We are here to worship God. God is love, and we are all God's beloved children. We can only love one another because God first loved us. Our psalm this morning is the first three verses of Psalm 1. And as usual, I will read alternate verses, and if you join in on the one in the middle. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Amen. So our opening hymn is number 416, Christ is Alive. And we're singing it to the tune Duke Street, which can be found at number 517 if you want to follow the music. So words at 416, tune at 517. Well, good morning. Good Lewis and Harris and Ewan and Caroline and Jennifer and Jack. Anybody else hiding? No Katie this morning. Aaron, I got Aaron and Lewis the wrong way around. Duh. Well, I knew you were both islands. And I was thinking I was doing so well. They always say pride comes before a fall, doesn't it? I wonder how good you are at knowing the names of birds. Because a few weeks ago, the RSPB had a thing called the Big Garden Bird Watch. And everybody who was taking part got one of these sheets, and they had to tick off all the birds that they saw in their garden in a particular space of time over one weekend. And I've done it previously. I forgot this year, which is just typical of me, isn't it? But I thought we would see how good you are at knowing one or two birds. And then I've got a wee story to tell you as well. So first of all, you're going to listen to the bird. And then you're going to see a picture of it. And if you still don't know it, I'll tell you what it is. So this is the first one. Have you got your ears pinned back? And that's for everybody. Somebody thinks a robin. It's not a robin. Shall we look at the picture? It's a blackbird. Yeah. Okay, how about the next one? I thought that one would have been so easy you would have all got it. Let's listen to the second one. What's that noise? Yeah. It's still not a robin. Blue tit. I must have got the pictures mixed up. A blue tit in the rain. Right, we're not doing too well here, are we? Next one, and I think you've just had a clue what the next one is. See if you recognise its song. We're hearing this in the trees all around at the moment. Not a hummingbird. Oh. He's going to tell you what it is. We'll have that picture. It's the chaffinch. Yeah, there's masses of chaffinch at the moment. I just love them. Right, this you haven't heard it yet. That's the robin. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. So we've got the picture of the robin as well. So that's all the sounds that I've got on this. The last one that I want to show you is not one that we would ever find in our gardens here, but it's a bird that I saw a lot of when I lived on Tyree. And there's a lovely story associated with it. So I want to tell you that. And we've got a little video of it to let you see. In Gaelic, called Libridge. That means. So let's see if the video will play and you'll hear how noisy this. You can see the wee chick in the foreground. This is one of the noisiest birds you can get. I'm going to make a noise in a minute, honest. There we go. You go to the seaside to watch the sea and have a quiet time and oyster catchers. The Gillybridges start up. So that's an oyster catcher. Well, two and a chick oyster catcher. So the story of why it's called Gillybridge in Gaelic means Bridget's servant or Bridget's helper. And the story goes that Saint Bridget, who was an Irish saint many, many years ago, was sailing across from one island to another in a little boat, and there was no wind. And she was in the middle of the sea, and the sail was just hanging loose. There was not a drop of wind, and she thought, what am I going to do? She was completely stuck. She was just sitting in the boat, and she was too far from shore to get anything. And then this little black and white bird came along and sat on the boat and spoke to her. and she explained her situation, that she was stuck. And the wee bird felt very sorry for Bridget. So the wee bird flew away, and she thought, oh, it's gone, it's left me. But about half an hour later, that wee Gillibrige came back with all the rest of its family. And what they did was they flapped their wings, all of them, and together they made enough wind for the sails to fill, and St. Bridget was able to reach the island that she was headed to. Isn't that a lovely story? There's another wee story about Bridget when I was looking her up. She was, as a young girl, she felt very, very drawn to following Jesus, following God. And in those days, she was a servant. She was paid to look after people who were richer than her. And do you know what she did? Each person that she went to work for, she would give all their good things away to other people. She went into her mum's kitchen one day and she gave all the butter away to people who didn't have anything to eat. And then when she was working for her dad, she gave away all his good clothes to people who didn't have enough clothes to wear. So he eventually took her to the king. And while they were speaking, she took his jewel-encrusted sword, which was really, really valuable, and she gave it away to people who didn't have anything so that they could sell it and get enough money to eat. But thankfully, the king believed in Jesus as well, so he realized that she was a very special person, and she went on to open up monasteries and nunneries. So what's an oyster catcher called in Gaelic? Gillibrige. Gillibrige. You nearly had it, didn't you? Well, if I can get your name wrong, you can get Gillibrige's name wrong. So let's say a word of prayer together. Loving, living God, we thank you that you love each and every one of us, and that you also love the whole of your creation, that as each of us has a name, so do all the birds that we see, and each one has a different song. Lord, help us all to find out our own song in this world, and let us say together the words that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we've got a lovely song. Jesus put this song into our hearts. That's a good one, isn't it? We can dance along to it as well. Okay, I've forgotten what number it is in the hymn books, but we'll get it in a second. It is number 692. Jesus put this song into our hearts. hours seems so quiet, doesn't it, when the children go out? Let's come before God in prayer. Creative God, in the beauty of the world, we sense you. In rivers and rainbows, sunlight and showers, there is wonder that points beyond. We sense your mystery in color and creativity. Early morning hues paint the landscape. Night offers a muted palette of dreams. You create new impressions every day. We seek you in silence and serenity, in turmoil and in storm. We know words cannot contain you, and you speak in many ways. We praise you for Christ, who revealed beauty in love. In humanity, he met with searching souls, making wise the simple. He shared in story and sign your creative power for all. We welcome the Spirit, enlightening our minds, inviting our questions, challenging our fears, helping us to explore further, encouraging us to delve deeper. We praise you in eternal mystery. You are our heart's desire. Before you and in the presence of your people, we search our hearts. Help us discern our faults. Protect us from proud thoughts. As wide as the wonder of God inspires, as deep as the searching God desires, beyond all measure is the forgiveness of God. We give thanks to you, O God. We celebrate the reaches of your love and faithfulness. Amen. Now invite Wilma forward to read from the Bible for us. The first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 20. And the second reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and verses 17 to 26.
We will be raised from the dead. Now, since we preached that Christ was raised from the dead, why do some of you say that people will not be raised from the dead? If no one is ever raised from the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is worth nothing, and your faith is worth nothing. And also, we are guilty of lying about God, because we testified of him that he raised Christ from the dead. But if people are not raised from the dead, then God never raised Christ. If the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith has nothing to it. You are still guilty of your sins. And those in Christ who have already died are lost. If our hope in Christ is for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone else in the world. But Christ has truly been raised from the dead, the first one, and proof that those who sleep in death will also be raised. St. Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. Jesus teaches and heals. Jesus and the apostles came down from the mountain, and he stood on level ground. A large group of his followers were there, as well as many people from all around Judea, Jerusalem, and the seacoast cities of Tyre and Sidon. They all came to hear Jesus teach and to be healed of their sicknesses, and he healed those who were troubled by evil spirits. All the people were trying to touch Jesus because power was coming from him and healing them all. Jesus looked at his followers and said, "Happy you people who are poor, because the kingdom of God belongs to you. Happy you people who are now hungry, because you will be satisfied. Happy you people who are now crying, because you will laugh with joy. People will hate you, shut you out, insult you, and say you are evil because you follow the Son of Man. But when they do, you will be happy. Be full of joy at that time, because you have a great reward waiting for you in heaven. Their ancestors did the same things to the prophets. But how terrible it will be for you who are rich, because you have had your easy life. How terrible it will be for you who are full now, because you will be hungry. How terrible it will be for you who are laughing now, because you will be sad and cry. How terrible when everyone says only good things about you, because their ancestors said the same things about the false prophets." Amen.
Thank you, Wilma. Amen. And may God add his blessings from his holy word. Our next hymn is not in the hymn books. It's one that we learned when we had an ecumenical service, a Songs of Praise, last year. And one of the members of the Catholic Church introduced us to this song. And a lot of people knew it from years ago. It's a really beautiful song. So I hope you can all manage to see the screen or just hum along. "I watch the sunrise lighting the sky, casting its shadows near. And on this morning, bright though it be, I feel those shadows near me." And then the chorus is, "But you are always close to me, following all my ways. May I be always close to you, following all your ways." come before God in prayer. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our Maker, Mender, and Muse. Amen. And woes. A large crowd of people had gathered, healed by Jesus, and they listened to his teaching, which was often shocking. I think sometimes we're familiar with the words and we forget just how shocking it would have been. So I've tried to make it a bit more modern. If you're poor, relying on food bank deliveries, crying your eyes out, neglected or abused by everyone, jump up and celebrate. You've won the jackpot. But hard cheese, if you've got some investments, enjoy a good meal out and a glass of fine wine, love a party and have a good laugh with all your friends. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes, because you'll soon be laughing on the other side of your face. Because that is pretty much what Jesus said. Jesus' teaching is really hard to understand sometimes. His words in this passage particularly make us very uneasy about our attitudes to wealth and poverty, to success and failure. And maybe that's just what Jesus is aiming at. He wants to shock us out of our complacency. He wants to make us wrestle with his words, for that is often the way to a deeper understanding of what following Christ really means. Tom Wright, in his commentary on this passage, suggests that this teaching was designed not simply to give generalized advice, however extraordinary, about the nature of life in God's kingdom, but to explain the secret of Jesus' power. You see, if we can't believe that poor people will be blessed, will be happy, and the rich will find their future is far less welcome than their present, if we can't believe that those who are hungry now will be fed, that those who weep now will laugh, that those who are hated, insulted, and excluded now will be blessed, will be happy, and of course that the opposite will happen, all those woes listed by Luke, well, what do we believe? If we cannot believe in this topsy-turvy world that Jesus describes, how can we even begin to believe in the resurrection? The resurrection is the ultimate turning upside down, where the dead become alive again. So perhaps Jesus' preaching was not so much aimed at being taken literally, or maybe that's just a cop-out for me, but more at shocking us into opening our minds to see that the specific belief that God has given us, belief in the resurrection, in life after death, puts all present wealth, power, and posturing into perspective. We can see just how shallow they really are. I remember someone once saying that they liked the way that I led a funeral and they would like me to do their funeral, but they didn't believe in God. And so he asked, could I do a funeral without mentioning God? And I thought about it and I had to honestly say, no, I couldn't. Because the only way that I can lead a funeral is because I believe in the resurrection. I believe that death is not the end. So if we all believe that God is going to create a new world and give us a newly embodied life, we must ask ourselves some searching questions about what sort of life is appropriate now in the present. Maybe then we'll see Luke's list of blessings and woes in a different light. I preach a lot about love because I believe that is the core of our faith. And I was reading this week an interview with Bishop Michael Curry. Are you going, who? He was the wonderful American bishop who preached so powerfully on love at Meghan and Harry's wedding on the 19th of May last year. His sermon then was all about love. And I want to quote a bit from his interview because I think this is just beautiful. He said, "To make it simple, love is unselfish, selfless, sacrificial living. It seeks the good and the well-being of the other, even sometimes above and beyond my own self-interest. That's what you have in the New Testament. Nobody made Jesus go to the cross. An angry God didn't make him do it. Jesus made a decision. I've got to show," and he's American, so he said, "y'all, what this looks like." So he gives up his life for others, not for himself. That's what love does. We're not just talking about a sweet sentiment. We're talking about a hard-nosed reality. We're talking about a way of life, a game changer in all our relationships. We must seek the common good. You can't name one change in human history for the good that wasn't motivated by unselfish, sacrificial, selfless living. That's love. Jesus' teaching on blesses and woes shocks us, and rightly so. For if we are comfortable, complacent, we have no desire to change our attitudes. This teaching of Jesus, particularly the version in Matthew, is often known as the Beatitudes. I believe that it's about our be attitudes. We have to be changed by our beliefs, or our faith is empty. Last Sunday was a wonderful day when we baptized little Jacob. And I wonder how many of you remember the words of the promise that we all made that day. I'm going to read it again. "Do you welcome Jacob, and do you renew your commitment, with God's help, to live before all God's children in a kindly and Christian way, and to share with them the knowledge and love of Christ?" And we all said we do. Now, living in a kindly and Christian way is about being. It's how we are. And whether blessings or woes come to our door, let's pray that we greet them and each other with love, unselfish, sacrificial, selfless love. Amen. We now continue our worship with our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving, living God, for your enormous generosity to us, that Jesus gave up his life for us, we are so grateful. Lord, with grateful, joyful, happy hearts, we come here to worship you and thank you. And so we ask that you will receive both our worship and our offerings, our presence in church, our prayers, and our everyday lives. And Lord, we ask you to use them all for the growth of your topsy-turvy kingdom, here and forth, and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Our next hymn really emphasizes what Christ calls us to do. When I needed a neighbor, were you there? Were you there? It's hymn 544 in the hymn books. I invite Robert Allen forward to lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers for the world. We pray for those whose lives are marred or diminished by prejudice or poverty. Help us to understand the pain and suffering of others, and guide us to do all that we can do to help. Help us to live as children of the one Father, sisters and brothers, who, with the eyes of faith, see all peoples as bearers of God's image, temples in which the sacred dwells. May we be at peace with ourselves, may we live in a spirit of humility, and deal with others, even with those who oppose us, with gentleness, honesty, and respect. Teach us dialogue, not conflict. We pray for our leader, for the Queen, for the Prime Minister, the First Minister, and all the ministers of the various governments and all who serve our country. Grant them wisdom, that they may seek justice in all things. Grant them compassion, that they may help those who are suffering. And grant them justice, that they may work towards the benefit of the most vulnerable. We pray for peacemakers, for peoples and lands divided, for families, especially children, suffering because of war. May there be a spirit of compromise, an abandonment of ego, the lust for power and domination. Help all those embroiled in conflict to see and cherish the humanity of those they consider to be their enemies, to see the divine spark in the eyes of those they consider to be their foes. Eternal Father, we pray for those whose life is blighted by loneliness, for those who are facing bad news, for those who are anxious or hurting, unable to sleep, who find little comfort in life. And we pray for the dying and for the bereaved. And in particular this morning, we pray for the family of Jim Somerville. We give thanks and pray for our loved ones departed, for those who inspired us and shaped our lives. May we with them one day be together in your eternal kingdom. These prayers we offer in Jesus' name and ask that you will accept them to his glory. Amen.
Robert, our closing hymn, There is a Redeemer, is one that I learnt on the bike rides, and I just think it's such a wonderful, rousing hymn and says it all. So it's number 559 in the hymn books. So as we go out into the week ahead, may we be certain to greet everything and everyone with love, unselfish, sacrificial, selfless love. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us to do that and be with us always till the end of time.